Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my freaky darlings, and welcome to this special episode of the Black Lace Diaries, brought to you by the Late Night Poets at allpoetry.com. The group hosts shows every night of the week on a variety of topics to ensure that there is something for everyone to enjoy. And if you want to support our shows, we have anthologies available on Amazon, which boast a wonderful selection of poetry offered up by the poets of our group. Tonight, we dive behind the veil of intimacy and look at the games you can play to heighten the senses. Crawl inside your lover's mind and make their imagination run wild. Or perhaps even allow us to give over to raw carnality. In the end, there are no losers, so long as we stick to the rules. Now, if you're ready, step into our dungeon. I, Mistress Frost, and Master M have a very special night lined up. Tonight, we're going to play with the idea of role-playing, stepping into a character so that you can play perhaps a stranger to your lover. Set out a fire with a firefighter, or perhaps you need some mending. Either way, it's a fun little game that lets us explore different scenarios that we might otherwise not find ourselves in. Mr. M, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing all right. It is kind of a strange feeling to be back, at least on a limited basis. But, I got inspired yesterday and a week or so back. So, you know, here I am.
Well, I'm not going to complain, but I do promise to go a little easier on you tonight for that. Deal?
That sounds like a good idea. Thank you.
Okay. Safe word is pineapple, though. Okay?
Oh, pineapple. I like pineapple, so but yeah, that's good.
Well, so far... Oh, we do. We do have a caller. Hold on. Let's bring him on. Area code 703, who are we speaking with?
Who are we? Well, I gave three guesses in the first year.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
Ended. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you could be here and here with Master M as well. I'm so excited.
Nice.
I could be
you.
Here for a little bit. I got a big day tomorrow, so I probably got a crash in 45 minutes to an hour.
Which means
but
I'll be here the whole show, right?
Thank you. Very funny.
All right. So,
oh,
Master
I don't
M,
think so because
wanna...
I pulled it off my shirt.
Oh, no. Master M, would you like to, do you think we should have Bobby read her piece first since she's here with us?
I think that's a good idea. I will totally accept it.
Okay. Stop twisting. I'll do it.
I'll go
post
that
we're using pineapple
for you.
There it is. Okay. Oh, I got too many tabs open at the top. It's like I've been doing research for contests and I tend to leave too many tabs open. I took your contest theme of role play, and it reminded me of two songs from the 70s. I put them down at the bottom. The one was by Carly Simon called "The Girl You Think You See," and I put links to YouTube if you guys want to listen to them. And the other one is Atlanta Rhythm Section's "Imaginary Lover," and also at the time I was watching "The Greatest Showman," which has all kinds of role playing in it. So that was kind of what my inspiration was for this, and I borrowed from the song lyrics from the two songs. So it's all I can do not to break into song because. Remind me of this. Anyway, here we go. Imaginary lover. Tell me who you yearn for in your secret dreams when you're unsatisfied with life's reality. You feel you know all about me, or so it seems. I'm not necessarily the lover you think you see. Go on and tell me your wildest thoughts to their extremes. And for you, that's who I'm more than willing to be. Who cares who your lover might be for real? I can be whoever you desire in the dark. When ordinary lovers don't understand what you feel and real life situations lose their spark, I can ply so many fine points to make your senses real. I will make your excitement hit the mark. Complete with my own provocative wardrobe, I can don any disguise you choose. You get to get things going, in your temporal lobe, your boredom is the only thing you have to lose. Pick a character from any culture on the globe. When you need inspiration, I can be your muse. Let's break all the rules. Let's imagine our own. A world for us alone will create. Varieties of pleasure as yet unknown. No longer a love life that's merely sedate. Our passions will effect a unique touchstone with many personas, simple or ornate. Though it's still only me, regardless of my games, I'll let you choose from 1,000 faces and select from any one of 1,000 names. The real me is hidden. I'll leave no traces. The goal's to fan your passion's hidden flame. You can have anyone you wish enjoy your embraces. It's no secret I want you, so let's take a ride upon my enchanted flying Persian rug. We'll be dreaming with our eyes open wide, where fantasy's my favorite kind of drug. And my imagination has nothing to hide. We'll give the curtain on your private pleasures a tug. Embellishing the truth isn't exactly a crime, so let me try and make your dreams come true. Envision a sensual adventure that's sublime, with a cast of exotic characters, all right on cue. Your imaginary lover playing all the roles, all of the time, to an enraptured, exclusive, lifelong audience. You. End poem.
Oh, Bobby, this is just stunning. And I love the way that you tickle the fantasy of the reader's mind, almost as if you're giving them a promise, a tantalizing option to go and explore the mystery and the unknown with you. Just a really stellar job. Thank you for sharing this and such a fantastic read. And Master M, what did you think of this?
Oh, I quite enjoyed it. I really liked the format. The rhyme scheme that she set up along with the visuals. And there was a particular line. Oh, it says, let's break all the rules. Let's imagine our own. A world for us alone will create. It's like basically setting the scene, any scene pretty much that you'd like. And your imagination is your only limitation. And I think that's a great take on the prompt. And I think she took it very well.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. That was a great. Oh, go ahead, Bobby. I didn't mean to speak over you.
I had fun with this, right? Like I said, I got inspiration from those two songs. And from the songs from The Greatest Showman, and it took off on its own. And I was thinking of things like Halloween and costume parties that I've been to and what have you, and that's where I took the idea of role play.
Well, I think that's a great interpretation of it, because you know there's a lot of different ways that role play can take place. It's not just putting on a costume in a bedroom. It could be meeting a stranger, quote unquote stranger, at the bar. It could be planning a night where you meet in a mysterious, dark way to tantalize each other's ideas and imagination and to play out something. You know, it could be just that costume and the idea of getting into that character for even a few hours and getting so caught up in it, but afterwards you just enjoy the role.
That was one of the reasons I took up belly dancing when I was in my 20s, is I've always loved costume. I've almost loved Halloween more than Christmas, and I took up belly dance because I've always loved any form of dance, and it turned out I was very good at it, so I started doing my own costuming, and it was fun. Because whenever I started dancing, I could be someone else, and I could play a role, and that's what I did.
Yeah. Well, I love it. And like I said, this this piece is such a stellar write. You know, it does have that beautiful rhyme scheme that kind of pulls you along almost as if you're getting a story or tantalizing this person with opportunity. I appreciate that in some ways, especially in that second stanza, you mentioned when ordinary lovers don't understand what you feel and realize situations lose their spark, I can apply so many fine points to make your senses real. I will make your excitement hit the mark. I think what I really liked about that line too is that not only have you captured the idea of role playing, but it's also the understanding that sometimes role play is an escape from reality, and reality can be so overwhelming when we're in the middle of something, especially something emotionally heavy. And so I love that you didn't just put people in a role, you put them in a headspace, because you're taking them away from the emotions and the mood and the life that they've been living to give them an adventure, be it exactly. on a magic carpet, be it on, you know, just going out on a date that they might not normally do. You have all these beautiful different ways of showing that role play is not just a physical thing, it's not just a costume. It is something so much more. And I think you were just so effective in doing that. So,
Thank you.
Truly just a stunning
piece. My
favorite lines
of the second to the last stanza will be dreaming with our eyes open wide, where fantasy is my favorite kind of drug.
That is a good one. That was such a good one, too. So, awesome job. I am going to have us move on, though. So, thank you for that and for conversing about it, because I think it's so important to get to hear artists in their own voice and their own thoughts. And I think that it really adds another level. So, I always appreciate the commentary that you bring because it gives it an additional dimension. So, truly, thank you for that,
thank
Bobby.
You. I liked the theme of your contest, so I was happy to write to it. It was fun.
Good. Oh, that makes my heart happy. All right. And so, Master M, where do you think we should go now?
I was thinking we could probably read them in order. So if you'd like. Oh, I think we're waiting for the first link. I think that it needs a SoundCloud, if I'm correct.
It actually did just get uploaded. So if you'd like to start there, we totally can.
Yeah, I think that is a very good idea.
Awesome.
Cataclysm. Prowling my way down your body, leaving fingerprints and stray kisses, breathing shallow, my body impatient, urgent, a wildcat about to pounce, more monsoon than body. I will forget nothing, leave no part of you untouched. I will bury myself so deeply inside you that you feel me running through each cell of your body. I will become your marrow. The sound of my voice will cause you to moan involuntarily. I lose command of language and remember only your name. We collide like a hurricane against the shore, a volcano bursting, a supernova exploding in the deepest corner of the universe, shaking stars and throwing them into orbit of suns. Years from now, you will wake up, shaking, reaching for me, desperate to find that feeling again, because cataclysmic events are never forgotten.
Oh, a beautiful read and write by Valentina Holloway.
Wow.
Yeah. And Bobby, would you start us off with some thoughts?
Certainly. I really, first off, the SoundCloud is first rate, very nice reading. It it had a great feel to it. The visual imagery is very provocative. I lose command of language and remember only your name. I love that passage. Characterizations like a volcano bursting, a supernova exploding, shaking stars and throwing them into orbits of suns. And I liked the ending said, because cataclysmic events are never forgotten. And that's the truth. I mean, even if the cataclysm is as simple as your first kiss from someone, it just especially if it's unanticipated. And then all of a sudden, every time you think of it, you get that same rush. So this piece has a great rush to it.
That was such a beautiful comment, Bobby. And I agree. She really does do an amazing job of capturing the imagery, of giving the feel of the power and the intimacy of the moment that kind of ingrains itself in your brain. Like you said, it might be something as simple as a first kiss. It could be something more. But it's vague enough that it allows our imagination to run wild with it, with all those haptic memories that our body seems to accumulate. Beautiful, beautiful comments. And Master M, what did you think?
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. I'm a person who is very akin to the poems that are very visual, and that really tickles my fancy, so to speak. But I really, really like this part that she used. It says, a wildcat about to pounce, more monsoon than body. I think that really kind of brings about like the, like she's really describing well the primal nature, like in it. And it's not necessarily, she's not speaking from a destructive standpoint, more of a kind of ferocity and beauty at the same time. And I think she really captured it well. And the SoundCloud that accompanied it really amplified that. And I think it was a great touch. She did very well.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree. I do love the primal nature that's in this, the releasing of the inhibitions to just enjoy the moment, let nature take its course in a way that cannot be commanded by man. I think that was a stunning comment, and I agree. This poem really does capture that. In looking at what she wrote on an image of a firefighter. So I thought that it was fitting that she mixes both fire and heat with water and cooling, a monsoon, a hurricane, a volcano, supernovas. We have extensive heat, massive heat, and frigid water that douses the flame. So how fitting that she used a firefighter for this. But not just that, the idea that she is getting so into this role, so into this moment, that again, those inhibitions are gone. The ability to just do as the body wishes, to give over and be so in the moment that you forget your language, like Bobby was mentioning, and remember only their name, be so caught up in the sensations that that's all you have. It speaks to this truly intimate, heavy moment. And the play of the words, the way that they kind of slope down after talking about a finger's caress, really does feel like the stroke of a lover. The way in which the words kind of weave feel almost like a wave. And yet the entire time she is building this passion and building this heat, building us to this cataclysmic event, which is appropriate given she wrote on a first responder, because they are never forgotten. And I think that she did such a beautiful job of capturing that impact, leaving us with that simple thought, because we've been so wrapped up in these highly energetic, uncontrollable things that finally is like holding your breath or perhaps collapsing after the fact. Just a truly stunning write. I really, really enjoyed this. And I'm so thankful that you were, that she was able to provide a SoundCloud. We do love it for poets that can't call in or are not quite ready to call in or just don't want to, when they can provide a SoundCloud, because it does let us hear your work in your words. And it gives a beautiful look into how it was truly meant to be read, because of course I'm going to read it differently than the next person. So thank you, Valentina, for this amazing write and the fantastic SoundCloud. And with, I believe we're going to move on to the next one. What do you think, Master M?
Indeed. So this time I actually found the link because, you know, it's been a while since I've done this, so I'm trying to finagle around and get things done. But
oh, you're doing great.
I have the link to the next one. And it is a poem by the poet John Devon. And I guess I will take a stab at reading it, if that's to your liking.
Oh, I think that'd be perfect.
Okay. So the poem is called From Shoulders on High. Imagine the tickle, the sensation, the mudslide, ever so slow. Imagine your quiver, your sense of touch, losing its mind. Fathom every inch by inch, each sliver by sliver. Fathom clumps skiing down, rolling contours, over thrills of restrained cries. Chocolate, warm, not hot, oozing down, belly button pooling. Chocolate running through tummy pin hairs. Imagine its weight, overpowering underpants piled on the floor. Imagine warmth of its fingers stroking her man's tower of desire. Feel my hunger, devouring, savoring, begging for whipped cream. Feel the height of exhaustion. Pleasure, babe. Shh, not a sound. End poem.
I feel like I need a moment after hearing you read that poem, because I'm sitting over here with a shit-eating grin on my face and goosebumps. That was such a stellar read. Thank you for that. And thank you, John Devon, for providing this beautiful piece of poetry. I think what I really loved about it is that there are those pauses. And with each of those pauses, it's imagine, fathom, feel. And he repeats each one twice, which really puts you in that headspace. They say that you have to say something three times in order to remember it, but he's emphasized it twice. So we are listening to him say, imagine the tickle. And we can't help initially just feel the tickle, but then we really feel the quiver. And he says, imagine the second time. And as he spoke about the chocolate and the whipped cream, all I could imagine was, because they put me in that headspace, all I could imagine was the taste of your lover's salty skin mixed with a small little streak of chocolate that you lick up off of their skin. It just, oh, it leaves my mouth salivating. And then, of course, for all of this to end up with him having his wife in the other room, maybe it's a little bit of personal play. And what I love about that is that so often we think role playing takes two people, but this shows how many ways we play stories in our head, the things that we imagine to get ourselves in the mood when we have a little bit of a need. I think this was stunning because it is full of sensuality and it draws you in only to let you know this whole thing has been a play of imagination. I'd argue he effectively crawled into my mind on this one, and Master M may have helped with his read. Just a stunning write, and I'm glad we have a recording of this because I think I'm going to need to hear it again. And Bobby, what did you think?
I hear Rhea pieces like this bread, and I feel like a voyeur.
That's understandable.
It's kind of like reading over someone's shoulder, you know. But it's a very provocative, very sensual, subtly erotic, and it also made me think when I started getting into trouble. Remind me a friend of mine. The advice he came to, he says, never play with things that you can't watch out of the sheets.
Good advice.
Yeah, I thought so too. And he was thinking of food items like chocolate and what have you, strawberries. And it reminded me of a carpet picnic I had one time with a lover that my coffee table is actually a Japanese dining table. It's called a chow table. And we baked it on the floor and any dinner. And I had a carpet picnic, and we didn't use any utensils. We used nothing but our fingers. It was a lot of messy fun. With the shower afterwards.
I think it's fitting that you mention that, because as you were speaking about that, Rex goes, chocolate delirium and messy sheets, licking lips and snowy treats. And how fitting is that to what you were just talking about?
But it was a lot of fun, because I don't know it. It was like things like lobster and melted butter and strawberries and champagne and everything you had to eat with your fingers. And it was his running down the arms. And that's what this piece reminded me of, is there's an art to sensual dining. I believe the movie that I'm thinking of is Tom Jones, with Albert Finney when he was much, much younger. And there's a scene in there. There's an eating scene where the two, they're sitting across from one another eating dinner, and it is one of the hottest scenes of eating that I've ever seen. It's really provocative, as provocative as it could have been for the 60s. But still, it's one of those things I think that's almost a lost art, especially for the American culture, where we don't dine, we simply do in-flight refueling. To really indulge like this poem talks about, with chocolate pooling and oozing and what have you, it's one of those tactile sensory pleasures that you really have to experience at least once, because it's totally different.
Oh, that was beautifully said, Bobby. And I do appreciate how you even mentioned, especially in the American culture, we really don't enjoy our meals the way that they are. In France and Italy, they can be a 2-3-4 hour event, because people sit there and they pick at the food and they eat progressively and they have communion with their community. Whereas in America, it's fast food galore, quick, get the dinner done. You've got other stuff to do. And so I love how you pull this back to truly appreciating the senses, because you're right. It's not something that we always get to do. And especially with prevalence and availability of adult videos, to catch my drift, there is this misunderstanding of what that act can be. And so this does feel like a callback to something that is more methodical and a true experience, not just a way to get things done quickly and get the need gone. So I love that comment, Bobby, because I think it's so insightful.
You'll even see a difference in the dining in Canada. They have more of a European approach, especially in Quebec. I used to go to Canada once a year for meetings. I was a division head for engineering standards development, and we'd partner with the Canadian government, and we'd have at least one And we have one meeting up there, and I used to get so, vexed by the American engineers that we'd go to a restaurant, and we'd have a dining, so you order table d'hote, you know, and then you get, they bring you food. And the Americans were complaining that the meal was taking too long. And I just, I would silently shake my head and just think, you know, we don't know how, as a culture, we don't know how to relax. We really don't. That's why I call American dining, I call it in-flight refueling, because it's basically, it's hit and run, and we're off to the next thing. We're too driven. And dine, it's like this. This is not wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. This is a real experience where you indulge yourself in all the sensory pleasures, and including your lover, and you share it with them. I'm very comical, because when I drink and I get a bit of a buzz, I'll eat with my hands. And I've been known to eat Jell-O with my hands.
Oh, my goodness.
I actually wrote a poem like that. It says, you can tell when I've been drinking because I eat Jell-O with my hands. So the haiku.
Well, that is amazing. And I do appreciate you sharing that, because again, it's kind of that idea of a whole perspective, big picture at what we could possibly be missing with how fast we move. So thank you for that, Bobby.
I really like this piece for that particular stimulus direction.
Absolutely. And Master M, having read it, what did you think?
Well, let me go back to look at the lines there. It's because I'm trying to juggle quite a few things. Not what you think, but let me see. All right. Well, I do agree with the whole sentiment. There's a time and a place for things. Sometimes, you know, you need things quickly done, and other times, well, you can take your time. And I think that both have their appeals based on the people and the situations. And I think that with those that you most care about, or the ones you become most familiar with, you begin to know which they favor, and you tend to go with that, you know, most unselfish people, I should say. But you get to know what each other likes, and you reciprocate, and you reflect, and multiply it, and it becomes something else, and on another level, so to speak. So yeah, I think that that knowing what each other likes is pretty much the key, and knowing yourself and what you like is also very important. And there's a time and a place for everything.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that you even mentioned that, because there is kind of that play almost in this piece too, of him being like, maybe right now it's not really the time to be doing this, but I'm going to be doing this. And even then taking his time to favor it. So I think that was a beautiful comment. Thank you for that. And where would you like to take us to now?
Well, the next poem is, I think probably you should take a turn at reading this one. I will post it in the group, where everybody can read along. And let's see. There you go.
This is Sweet Southern Style by Linda M.B. Swinging open shut, broken flies scream tickled out towards the porch by the heat, the hot, heavy breath of 4 o'clock Sunday. Her old radio croons, his hands tap, tap, tapping all the way down her spine in sync to Benny Goodwin's jazz beat. Mint juleps come to mind. The walnut table set for tea time, for show, in case the neighbor wanders by, in case her husband comes home early. She burns beneath his skin, heat, backyard breeze, whistle, teething in between them, cannot put out the fire. End of poem. And Bobby, would you mind starting us off with your comment?
I love the last line. In between them, cannot put out the fire. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's a very rewarding piece to read, to listen to being read. It has a great visual imagery, the setting and everything, and the title actually reminds me of what I believe those are lyrics from a song that Cher did in 1970s, early 70s, the Sweet Southern Style. It's not the name of the song, but those were part of the lyrics. And Smooth Southern Style. But this is the whole setting is so leisurely. Again, it's like the tempo of life in the South, and you find in warmer climates that they tend to adopt a more leisurely lifestyle because of the heat and humidity, and people tend to they learn to rest in the middle of the day. And this is like she says, in case the neighbor wanders by, in case her husband comes home early. And I mean, I love that. That's a great line because it's like something they both want. It's a great piece.
Absolutely. And I think that was a great comment too. I think I appreciate that you mentioned Cher because I was actually thinking Black Velvet, but that's Slow Southern Style.
But that was
a beautiful comment. Yeah. And Master M, what did you think of this?
Well, I enjoyed it because there's quite a bit of, feels almost like there's a sort of mischief involved, and the setting that she set up, you can actually like picture everything, like everything that's going on. You can like feel the heat in more ways than one. And I particularly liked the part that she already pointed it out. It says, in case the neighbor wanders by, and in case her husband comes home early. It's just like there's all kinds of invitations going about, so which really provokes the mischief factor. I really dug it, and I like I said, I like visual poems, and this hit the money. So
I love how you mentioned. Yeah, and that's exactly. And I was going to say, I think it's fitting that you mentioned mischief because as you were talking, Rex posted in the group, a walk on the wild side of Southern Lemonade, sweet, tasty, and oh so off of that charming grid. And I think that was just a beautiful comment that you provided because not only is it that recognition of the mischief, of the excitement that comes with possibly forbidden fruit, even if it is just a role that they're playing, but still even that excitement of possibly being interrupted, the idea of the husband coming and interrupting them or the neighbor even stopping by because they see something welcoming, mm-hmm. It gives a moment of urgency. So I think that was a beautiful look into this piece that pulled out a detail that I think might not be always seen, that welcoming nature of the South and how that might interrupt some things. I think what I really liked about this piece isn't just the play of the welcome of the South or the urgency, the musical quality, because you have almost an afternoon delight, you have Black Velvet and even the Cher song that Bobby referenced. But you also have an understanding that in the sense of role play, your husband isn't there. They get to take on a different role. You get to take on a role, or perhaps your husband is there and now you're the maid. It allows for that fun. It allows for a safe wandering into a headspace that might otherwise be perceived as someone not playing by the rules. All the while is just a moment of excitement, a moment of fun. And I have to say, I saw it as I was reading it, and as I got to read it before the show, I was thinking of all the different characters that this man could play. The milkman, the farmhand, the plumber. You have all these fun little different things. Even possibly the neighbor next door and the female neighbor comes wandering by. You just have an opportunity in one simple scenario to play so many different roles, and yet the excitement remains. The idea of playing with that forbidden fruit, she's beautifully captured this, and it does have that warm, cheery feeling of a southern afternoon. Life is slow and no one's looking, so they're taking a moment to have a little bit of fun. And I think she really effectively captures us in that feeling and in that moment. So just a really stunning piece.
Yeah.
And so with that.
As I'm listening to the different pieces, I'm reminded how often, if you really listen, you find this motif in music. And the song that popped into my head was the Pina Colada song.
Careful, our favorite Remember? Pineapple.
Yeah, it actually does. Yeah, because
we're getting bored sorry. With each other, and they each put an ad in the newspaper, and they both
yeah.
answer an ad in the newspaper when they meet. They meet each other in this bar.
Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah.
great! I love that.
Yeah, it was always one of my favorite songs because of that, because the irony of it. It's also very catchy.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are curious beasts by nature, and role-playing enables people to satisfy a certain needs without climbing other trees, so to speak. So there you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was perfectly said. Climbing other, get a satisfy the need without climbing other trees. I feel like that needs to be a poem prompt. We're getting all sorts of inspiration tonight, guys. I'm loving it.
Right.
And Rex, as on, he goes, jazz me a tune in that slow slung sax. It's party time, and this combo's a rock in the roof. I like that. Oh. All right. Where do you want to take us to next?
Let's see. Looks like a bit of pyromania is in order. So... one of you lovely gals can take a crack at this one.
Bobby, would you mind taking this read?
I will take it. I will read it. I will comment on it. And then I think I shall retire.
Well, if you must, but I understand.
My pumpkin time. It's my pumpkin time. Okay. Let's see. Are we? Oh, Pyromania by My Angel. Here we go. All right. Oh, goodness. I had a lady friend. She used to be a picture like that. She'd go, "Ooh, hurt me." My Angel 3. Take me back to that balmy summer evening, our bodies igniting beneath the moon's glow, the way we'd gotten mildly inebriated on Botox, Pinot Grigio. There were kisses, touches, and fiery lust, combined with the feeling of the gentle wind, dancing across bare, sizzling skin. The excitement of the night's love was about to commence. The allure of the open starry sky stirred powerful needs. Our plans for dinner turned to dessert on our date night in the park. Our flesh was aflame as hands began to probe, intensify, growing. Soon we were both begging for more. You fed me in inches until I was fully satisfied. First shuddering, heightened ecstasy, then sated and shocked, stock still. We laid there together, my head on your chest. If it wasn't completely perfect, it was a damn good beginning. And boom.
Oh, that was a great read. Thank you, Bobby. An amazing write by my angel three. And Master M, would you start us off with a comment?
Yeah, I like the references to the, of course, you know, the fire and intensity, and you know, there's also the a lot of people are mentioning summertime. I'm guessing mainly because it is hot right now. And then they got hot pictures to work with, so summer is a good you call it backdrop, I suppose. It's like our bodies igniting beneath the moon's glow. I really, really love that imagery because the moonlight is one of my favorite things. And if you have a semi-warm night that turns into a super hot night, I guess that's another good thing, isn't it? But let's see, first shuddering, heightened ecstasy, then sated and stock still. Like, all of that, all of the fire eventually burned out. But, you know, there's still relaxation after in the dark. So that's, I thought it was very nice, very well done.
Beautifully said. Your comment actually reminded me, they may be still, but there's always smoldering coals. So that was a beautiful comment, and I agree. There's nothing quite like a warm summer night that turns a little steamy. Thank you for that. And Bobby, having read it, what did you think?
Again, I feel like a voyeur. But it's a very sensual piece. It's a great take on the prompt. And if I've noticed a reoccurring motif in the pieces that have been read that are like this is there's no talk of the handsome stranger or the mysterious woman in red. The verses are talking about established relationships that are taking a spin in a different direction, and I find that intriguing. Because that's people allowing their imaginations to provide the stimulus for keeping the spark alive, as it were. And this is what it sounds like. And it's like I had something similar when the first time I went camping, first time I'd been in a it was raining outside. We were in the tent, and talk about atmospherics. Boy, oh boy. You got that little pitter pat on the tent. It's like, thank you, Mother Nature. You couldn't have done better. You get all these different little circumstances in here. The allure, starry sky, plans for dinner turn to dessert. The spontaneity of it is what's great. Is people aren't looking for the perfect setting. They're looking for in this case, they're looking for the setting that just sets them off. You know, it doesn't have to be flowers and music and candles. It's, you know, the heat of the moment. Oops, there's another song. By Asia.
Hey, I like it when you're in a musical mood, Bobby.
But Laurent gets annoyed with me because I have this almost eidetic memory, and I keep making these references. He goes, how the hell did I ever hold this guy? I don't know. It's just all up there.
Well, I love it. I love it. And I appreciate it because it does add another dimension to that.
That's what this reminded me of, this video, the heat of the moment is a song by Asia. And it takes this same tack of just taking advantage of the spontaneity between people.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that was a wonderful comment too, because you're right. A lot of these pieces are about established relationships that are, and I already based all the words, but they're getting to get a need met without climbing those other trees in the way in which they do that. And it doesn't necessarily, like you said, it doesn't necessarily have to be someone's going to play a firefighter. Sometimes it is just finding that moment that they get to feel that spark. They get to feel the excitement and they just let it kind of take control. It is those little fun moments.
And it could be the
spontaneity of
them. It could be the details of a relationship, like she puts on a certain fragrance and it just, you know, it triggers something. It's one of those olfactory triggers. Or he takes off his shirt and he's standing there bare-chested in blue jeans. And, you know, just that sends her over the edge. She loves her partner. And the way he looks. And, I just remembered something. I mentioned taking up Middle Eastern dancing and the role play.
Uh-huh.
I was stationed in Okinawa. And I was taking a dance classes there through the USO. And I was the only, but the instructor was the only woman in the class that had more experience than I did dancing. And so she used to do private parties. I told her, I said, I can't dance around Marines because I'm their level, because I was an officer. And, but my hairdresser, when she knew I was dancing, and she said, my husband's birthday is coming up. She said, would you, and that was my first private party. She said, would you come and dance? She said, I want to pay you to come dance for my husband for his birthday. And I said, sure.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I went to their home, and I had my tape player and everything. And the way you do is you tell the wife, and it's usually the wife sets it up. The wife, I said, blindfold him. Tell him when he hears the music start, he can take the blindfold off. And so I had my music cued. The music would start. I would start dancing. The husband would take the blindfold off. And you've never seen grown men trying to become part of the furniture because everybody else is standing across the room watching him touch you. And so, I was quite good. And that beautiful figure, I had a six pack, like an 18-inch waist, and I knew how to move. Well, I did it, and she paid me and thanked me. When the next time I went in for a haircut, I asked her, I said, how is your husband's birthday? She got this look on her face that only I understood. She looked at me, she whispered, and she leaned over and whispered, but she said, what you started, I finished.
Damn.
Hey, that's a good night. Teamwork, right there. I love it.
I never forgot that. And she looked. She said, "Thank you." I said, "I can take it. It went well." She said, "Oh yeah."
Oh, well, that's phenomenal. Thank you for sharing that, Bobby. That was a delight. And I mean, how fitting too, though, is that sometimes we like to tantalize and tease our partner, even if it is with a belly dance from someone else. You know, just because someone starts it doesn't mean we can't finish it.
And something similar happened. We had, when I was stationed at 29 Palms, they used to have a Pioneer Days. And it was in, I think, Morongo Valley. We went in there, and they had all kinds of wacky events, like outhouse races and things like that. Well, the traditional one, the one they had, was a tug of war. And there was a concrete company that was established. They had a team. These guys were so organized. They had their own shirts with the company on it. I mean, matching shirts. They had uniforms. And they would practice. And, of course, they'd always win. Well, I'm standing there on the sidelines with a friend of mine because she said, let's go, and we're watching the cement company just wipe out team after team. And my friend leans over. I'm standing in a group of women, and I have a great stage whisper. My voice carries even when I'm whispering. my friend leaned over to me. She says, look at the anchor. She says, look at that guy. And he's very handsome, well-built. I mean, very just, you know, I look at him, I jump on my husband at home, you know. But she leaned, and I had my standing there with my arms crossed. And she says, look at the anchor. And I looked back at her and I said, very good. Had him scrubbed and sent to my tent. And the women next to me lost it. They absolutely lost it. But that was one of those things that looks high and it gets you stoked. And you go home and you realize, you know, you've got a great partner that knows what you like, but the stimulus is external. That doesn't mean it's bad. Like it just you don't have to climb the tree. You can just look at the tree.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Admire the fruits.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah. Eat the ones that fall to the ground. It's fine, guys. It's fine. Well, that was a beautiful comment, Bobby. Thank you so much. I didn't know. Would you like to stay for my comment, or are you running away from us right now? I know you said you were going to read and comment.
I'm going to listen to your comment, and then going to politely fade into the distance.
Hey, I totally get it. You've got a long trip, and I want you safe. So thank you for your beautiful commentary, Bobby. That was fantastic. I appreciate it. What I really liked about this is a lot like what you mentioned, Bobby, that there's not necessarily people taking on roles, but capturing themselves in the moment. Obviously, this is kind of like one of those cheap dates where maybe they're just going for a drive, parked in a park, drinking some box wine, and yet that is enough. And I love how while they're not taking on a firefighter, they are playing with the idea of fire, the way that the heat and the passion kind of overtakes them. Perhaps it was the cheap wine, perhaps it was the stars, but in the end, or the gentle breeze, you know, in the end, what is best is this moment just between them. And I love how they said, we lay together, my head on your chest. If it wasn't completely perfect, it was a damn good beginning, because there's not just an understanding that a perfect night does not come because of all the bells and whistles. It comes because of the connection and even the hint that perhaps there's more to come. You know, there's more that they can play, more that they can do. So I think this is just a really beautiful rite that captures the importance of human connection in relationships and not necessarily the bells and whistles.
You make your own bells and whistles. I'm gonna contribute one more thought, and then I'm going
Please
to thank
do.
You. Have you ever seen the movie, the film In Her Shoes?
Yes.
It's Toni Collette. Do you remember when she starts dating one of the attorneys that takes her out to dinner? They go back to her place, and he picks up a trashy paperback bodice ripper that her sister had left behind, and he starts reading it aloud. He shuts the book and he says, I'm embarrassed to admit this, he said, but I'm officially turned on. And there you go. The roles that they were playing weren't their roles. He was reading from the paperback. And they were listening to the roles of the characters in the book, and that got them turned on too. And I just was reminded that it doesn't have to be role playing per se, but it could be anything that stimulates the relationship, that takes it out of its normal track and makes it a little bit provocative, spicy.
Yeah,
so I was just
and before you run away, I'd just like to say how fitting a comment that is when you mentioned that after reading this, you feel almost voyeuristic, because you're right, you know, sometimes perceiving or reading someone else's roles can be the stimulation that is needed. Even if it is a fictitious character on the back of a book, that voyeuristic right. idea can kind of sometimes set the mood. So I think that was actually a really stunning little commentary to add. So thank you for that, truly.
And I really enjoy, I'm sorry I can't stay for the rest of the show, but it was a great theme, and I can't wait for your next one.
Thank you so much. And I definitely hope to see you in it because you're...
I'm sorry?
I think we might have technical difficulties. Ms. Frost will hopefully be back. Are you still there, Bobby?
Bobby disappeared, and I'm now a doppelganger because the program dropped me, and which is why I stopped like mid-comment. And so now there are two Victorias.
What? Double the Frost.
You'll learn, my dear, that this is not uncommon for my phone to just be like, curtain call, we're going to take a break.
Right. Well, good night to Bobby, I guess. Hope she has a good night. That was interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and so where would you like to take us now that it's just me and you hanging out?
I think it's probably best that you read the next poem, and I will look at the next one myself, and we'll go from there.
I like it. Do you want me to post the link? You got the link?
I did post it, I believe. Yeah, the link is in the room. Uh-oh.
I was on mute. I'm still here. I'm just being a dork. So I am going to contest you having me read this one because Cornelius is a man. So would you mind lending your voice to this piece?
Sure. Okay. Let's see. All right. So this poem is called Who Dares by Cornelis Burdane. Who dares explaining this math in front of my class? I dressed in a class of my own. The winner will certainly bathe in due time will eventually pass, feeling a prince as I am sitting on your throne. Come forward to feel released within this feast of sheer lust. Let me loose power and again to regain. Let me awake your hiding inner beast. Dare to let go your own trust and let pain and shivers be a repeated refrain. I have to admit I'm stunning and so hot and in for some lecture that's new. So get lost in this adventurous play. Who dares to show what he or she's got. Look under my skirt, come have a view, for I'm not here forever to stay. I'll bind you with the black lace, your arms tied to the blackboard, free you from whatever you may wear. To the ceiling I'll frame your face. You will scream and I will share to know my whip, kiss, tongue, caress, and just stare. Oh, wow. This story makes my body feel moist. Watch as steam is slowly coming up. Who will handle this white chalk? Let me whisper, speak slowly, sexy voiced, while I force you to drink my fluids from a cup. Don't stay there. Who dares to walk? Teaching myself and poem.
Awesome, Reed. Thank you so much for that and a great write by Cornelius Burdane. I think what I really have enjoyed about this is, again, we have that almost solo play idea that's going on. And reading it, I'll admit, like, I had a moment of pause because he's talking about looking up my skirt. What was another one? Drinking and looking at my skirt and then drinking my fluids from a cup. And that gave me a little bit of pause because it does sound almost feminine. And yet there's that very masculine tone at the beginning. And maybe I'm just being sexist and thinking of those old male school teachers. But it does have that almost authority. And I love the way that he took this prompt too, because it's the schoolgirl is a well played out idea. Nothing wrong with it. But to take the authoritative figure, to have it be that idea of the teacher who is planning and teaching, and the disappointment is almost pleasurably punished. It's almost kind of a delightful play of thought. And it does tickle the imagination in that respect. The who is going to meet me there? Who is going to dare accept this challenge? I think it was just really well done in the way it pulls you along. It kind of keeps you guessing. And I did too appreciate that he pulled in the show's name, The Black Lace Diaries, in with his stanza that says, I'll bind you with a black lace, your arms tied to the blackboard, free you from what you may wear, to the ceiling I'll frame your face, you will scream and I will share to know, I whip, kiss, tongue, caress, and just stare. That idea of taking the pleasure that you wish as if it is a punishment, all the while you are giving it. Just a really fun piece that I think tickles the imagination. So enjoyable, really enjoyable, and a great read. And what did you think?
I really like the I mean, I guess it's what you would call cliche, but the whole school fantasy things, because that's when at that, if you go back to that, that's when the hormones were running wild, you know, and you had all these ideas and all these, you know, things that you wish that you could do, but, you know, it was not appropriate. And then you say, well, you know, this person, for example, they decided, Cornelis, I believe it is, they decided to take it upon themselves and share with us a, like how you guys said, a solo role play, which can go any direction. I can go anywhere, and there could be, you know, multiple people. There could be multiple roles of multiple people, and that just opens up a whole new, you know, horizon of fun, like for yourself even, and or for a partner in case, you know, you decide to share those ideas. So I thought it was really well done, and the imagery was very, very good. And the whole black lace thing, I'm glad that you pointed that out, because I thought the same thing to myself. It was very appropriate. So, yeah, all in all, I liked it.
Oh, absolutely. And I love, too, that you even mentioned about how when these fantasies sort of begin, it's often when it is inappropriate to act on those. It shouldn't be acting on those. And the hormones are just kind of wild and uncontrolled. And yet in this, we know it's a fantasy because of the level of control, because there is intent and ideas, and it's not just kind of a let's make something happen. And so I love that. It's almost that fulfillment of a need long left waiting. So that was a really fantastic comment. Thank you for that. And with that, where do you want to take us off to next?
Let's see. There is a another poem by Versus Goliath, and I believe it is told from a male perspective, so I think I will tackle this one.
Well, I think he actually provided a SoundCloud, so if you want to post that, I could play the SoundCloud.
Oh, okay. I'll post a poem, and yeah, teamwork. All right, let's go.
I like it.
Let's see. There is the poem called Explicit AF by Versus Goliath.
Obsessive Placation by Versus Goliath. Everything that scribbles like the Anarchist Cookbook. Look good, posing in a centerfold of crookbook. Black on black on black, with the ski mask that is my cook look. Subwoofers wobble as tires squeal to a halt. Behind the wheel, a bobblehead jamming. Woke up, woofers bark, limo tinted S10's fault. Time to unravel the rope, tape, drivers planning. Pull up to the second house on the left, confirm address, then go around the block. Exit getaway vehicle, neighbor's wall hefted, slide into her backyard and pick the lock. Balaclava, sweaty on Las Vegas evening, use knife hand to wipe away perspiration, wide smile underneath, it's finally happening, everything going exactly to his preparation. Creeping feet, agilely dodge furniture, hip-hop footwork, excited night dancer. Get to her room, slow, carefully open door. Go toward sound of a steady, calm snore. Lights on, exposed criminal caught in sexy woman's trap. Feel shocked to toes as taser applies its fun zap. Wake up bound, naked, hands cuffed above head. Police officer smiles, hang in place like lead, heavy eyelids. Wow, you're lucky you're not dead. Momentary pause. Or are you? Captor said. Would love to respond, mouth gagged with her panties, a sweet acidity on tongue, the appetizer to her delicious tease. Swaying hips grind soft, feel blood flow change, weakened knees. Leans head back seductive, whispers coyly, no one will hear your pleas. Bent like she was looking for a pencil, shook her wet core's warmness. Thinks she found what she was searching for, steadily rises with leather cattails, turns around, strokes hair from hazel eyes. After this, always call me mistress. The sultry, devilish tone commanded respect as she tickled skin with lazy nails. Still entranced by sensation as she stepped behind spinal column, here lash before pain's creation, swimming interesting nerves scream, too manly for external reaction, tattoos create a different perception, craft a response to every action. Babe, you're supposed to be hurt. Now mistress sounds really curt, slaps shoulder blades, gluteus maximus, put muscle into working load-bearing struts, grown into fabric gag as body turned red, pretty vicious lashing until one spot bled. Calmed sadist, thankful victim, wilted skin from back to limbs. Feel gentle caress wrap around, release growl, animalistic sound. From one extreme to another, quickly all hot and bothered. Click of handcuffs unlocked, as velvet hand entices cock, freed from binds, gag. Ease to ground, then in front of face, her glorious mouth. Eagerly lick at delicious river mouth, as well-placed lips travel south. Hands possessed, pull it in. Something needs to happen. Know it's coming. Syncopation in breaths. Shared realization, hungry suction, quite compelling. Sinners, fluids to hit ridge ceiling. She won unspoken competition. Definitely came first, not just one, or two, or three, before gaspy cry. You just won't release, babe, why? Flip her around, enter cave easily as she illuminates. Guide slithering, serpent venom's kiss taking hold, she screams, drags into folds, dribble of cream trapped in hardened mold, eyes rolled back, gleam. Shuddering body collapses on chest, feel sting of abuse as arms wrap soft, fragile role player, proud of her, earned her rest, got some cleaning to do, might take a while, end poem.
What a great read from Versus Goliath. I think what is really fun about this piece is that he really delved into the role play. The initial idea of someone breaking into a house is frankly terrifying. It's not something that we want to have happen. And yet in this, he flipped the script. She was ready. She tased him and she took her way with him. And I don't mean to take a poem and lose its seriousness, But it actually reminded me there was a, I think it was a Florida woman, because it's always a Florida person. But there was a woman who captured a guy who entered the house and broke in and used him as a sex slave. And for a moment, this almost reminded me of it. But that too can be a kind of role play. The villain, the criminal who gets caught, and she gets to have her way with him. And then, of course, the end kind of shows how this was that play, how really this was all a mind game for them to play the different roles that they wanted. He got the beating, even if he bled a little, and he has that, the soreness left over afterwards to remind him of this. All the while, it gives the idea that she's, while playing dominant, is still submissive because there's that aftercare that he's providing, which doms can need aftercare as well. But having them kind of have that sweet moment afterwards, the almost losing the character as it's coming to an end, it feels so human and so realistic in that respect. Because as much as we would like to think that everybody's, you know, two sexy strangers meeting at a bar, eventually the image ends. And I love that it's towards that end of like, hey, come on, I need a break. And even the pride that he feels for his submissive and or dom, depending on the role, is just beauty at the end. It shows the connection. It shows the intimacy that's between them. And this wasn't just a game, but it was a game of intimacy that they both got to play. I really loved that play. And even the way in which he changes forms, I think, keeps the poem fresh. Because when you have such a length like that, it's hard sometimes to kind of maintain it. But I think that with the change and the wordplay and even the formatting, it really continued to draw us along. That being said, I find it interesting. And maybe I just have stuff on the mind. But the second to last stanza almost looks like a halo or silhouette of a phallus. Like it kind of looks like a penis, which may be intentional given that that's kind of his peak. So really interesting piece, really well done, that I think just kind of draws us into the storyline so that we can enjoy it and feel it. And to steal an idea from Bobby is almost voyeuristic. So really stunning, right? My doppelganger has decided she no longer wants to hang out. So I'm going to drop for a second and then call back in. But would you mind giving your comment while I do that?
Okay. Well, as for me, I really did enjoy the way that the poem evolves, because the way that it started out was completely different from the way that it ended. And even from not just a mood, you know, the standpoint from where your mood is at, but you know, it actually builds and builds and builds and builds, and then it drops, and then it builds and builds and builds again. And in doing that, it kind of that roller coaster, the up and down, so to speak, is actually kind of refreshing in a way. And then, you know, you while you're reading the poem, you're actually looking at the poem and seeing the intricacy and all the structure flowing and changing along with the whole aspects of the poem itself are actually quite nice. And I am kind of glad that he did throw that in the end, that because everybody, you know, despite who we think we are, we're all human, you know, and we reach our threshold. And even though some have a higher threshold than others, you know, you have to take into account everything, and as he did in this poem. So I think that was actually very well done, and different. Like, it's different than many poems that you come across, and in the fact that it's ever evolving and ever changing. And I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And I love too that you kind of mentioned how it's kind of like a roller coaster, because it does give us that kind of speed up and slow down, which can be almost tantalizing. It can be almost teasing to kind of have that Oh, we're going to go. No, we're not going to go yet. Oh, we're going to go. excuse me. I just inhaled my saliva. But it does have that really fun play that kind of keeps us on our edge, which he's kind of at around the end of the poem, kind of that holding in that final peak for one moment. It just really, really well done. And I loved your comment that I got to hear. So thank you for that. And so with that, where would you like to take us now?
Well, let's see. The next poem will... Oh, and I think... did we actually have that one read already? I think so.
Captain Bees, yep.
Okay, so this one will be your read. I will post it in the group. And...
Awesome.
You could take it from there.
This is Playfully Pillaged by Aphasiana. I, a proper lady, strolled along gentle shore, wondering if across the sea life held more, when suddenly before me stands a barbarian, bare chest adorned with the markings of a heathen, hungry hands unlace my gown as he lifts me onto his ship. His rough urgency and forceful thrust have me cry in worship. My husband sighs satisfied, but plots our next adventure. Tomorrow I'm a shield maiden, and he'll be the one I capture. End poem. Oh, this is so fun. And I'm so sad that she didn't get to call in. She's visiting family, and so she did not get to call in. But I'm so, so happy that she wrote for this, because this is just stunning. And would you mind sharing your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that it was actually kind of cool, and the whole shield maiden and barbarian, you know, back and forth, and her being I'm a proper lady, and just, you know, getting taken on and taken advantage of by one of the most brutish type people. Like it was a short poem, but it had a lot in it, like and it just like got down into it, and it approached it quickly, and it finished quickly, but it left like a lasting, it left like lasting thoughts, like to wonder what the next adventure is going to be like. So I thought that was really well, the way that she ended that playfully, and also left like a tease, like what tomorrow may bring.
Oh, I love that. And you're right. She does really leave that tease of what the next adventure is. And I like that it's her husband planning it. Like, she's just there to play a role and have her needs met. But you're right. It is a brevity, and yet it has so much in it. She's captured so beautifully the role that she's playing, this proper lady minding her own business, when all of a sudden this barbarian pirate just sweeps her off her feet, because that's what happened in the olden days, you know. but I do love it. The roles are so simple and yet so well fulfilled. And that's the beauty of role play. You don't have to worry about these big backstories. It can be just, today I'm going to be a lady and he's going to be a barbarian, and that's all you need for the moment, you know. And it gets to add that excitement, because even if it's the first time you've role-played with your lover or your spouse, or if it's the millionth time, you never know if they're going to play the role the same. And if you trust them to not harm you, then you can have these things where people are captured. They can be pillaged and plundered, and yet it's all in this beauty of the trust that's been established between two people. And I really what I appreciate about this is that it shows that even if someone who, you know, maybe you don't want to do the whipping and the lashes, maybe you don't want to go on a big extravagant adventure, sometimes we can add just a little bit of spice by pretending to play these little roles. Doesn't mean you have to go out and buy a whole costume. Maybe it's just, you know, happenstance deciding to look outside and be inspired. I love it. I really, really love this. Because it doesn't worry about the fluff, and yet it creates this beautiful, complete picture and story. And it's just, is so satisfying, and like you said, it leaves just enough to continue to tease us.
Yeah, as they say, sometimes less is more, and in this aspect, it actually was, you know?
Oh, absolutely, and I have to read this because it's Rex, and I love Rex's commentary, and he goes, "Crucify me, Conan, thrust after thrust with your sword," and I feel like Faze would just love hearing that. But who doesn't want to be crucified by Conan? I wouldn't mind it. So
he's got the pecs for it. So yeah.
There you go. That's what it is. That tree I want to look at. All right. Where do you want to take us now? We got about 30 minutes left.
Okay. Well, let's see. I will post this next one for you. And it is by Betty Page.
Okay. Oh, goodness. I am so excited. Betty, she wasn't writing in for a little bit, but she started writing in again. I have to say my first experience with Betty Page, the first few couples, she used sensuality almost as a feast. And it was just delicious. So I always get a little excited when she writes in for the sensuality pieces because she just does so well. And to add to Conan, oh, you brutes, take me from Rex again.
Mm-hmm.
Rex is going to write us a play.
Where is Rex at?
All right.
He nowhere around.
Oh, he's hiding in the LNP group. So for those that are listening in and not part of All Poetry, this is always a good reminder. We do have a group on All Poetry. Late Night Poets at AllPoetry.com is a group on the website. And if you don't want to enter, if you don't want to call in, don't really have a piece, but you want to hang out, people can go into the group and interact with us as we are on air. Allows you to kind of read along as we're going. So just some little facts for those that are interested. But with that, this is Teach Me, number 3360 by Betty Page. You'll be my teacher. Smack me with your ruler, please, and down on my knees. Come tear all apart, sipping with teeth. Tell me what to do, aggressively, so fiercely. Yes, I will obey. Submit completely. I will do just as you say. Thank me, I'm naughty. Excite me, vicious. Pin me down across your desk. Pull, thrust, push in deep. Take me on playground. Tie me all up with jump ropes against tetherball. Let me up and down. Have your way with me, fierce. Teach me to taste you, how to ride you. Show me everything you like. Indulge me real deep. Let me taste knowledge. Bite, twist, twirl, and adventure. Lustfully excite. Oh, that was a great piece. And I love how she brought in not just the role of the teacher, but also the various components that you would find in a school yard. Again, it's kind of that capturing of the imagination, what she wants them to do to her. Not necessarily having them actually act it out, but even that play. And sometimes that's what it is, sending your significant other a fun little flirty text in the middle of the day to give what is to come. And perhaps, this could even be read as someone whose significant other is in some way a teacher or could play a teacher. And so it's that idea of, you could do this. You could take me out and tie me up with jump ropes. And I love that it's jump ropes because, again, it's using those things that they would find in that element. I think that's just it. She drew this picture so beautifully and really brought us into the scene by bringing all these components out of it. And so I guess that's what I'm sitting here just kind of like, wow, about is the way in which it's not just the classroom. It's not just the ruler. It's all these different little things that she thought of to bring into this fantasy. And I love it. She says, I envision my fantasy of my dream guy being a handsome college professor with me being his obedient Catholic student with those hot schoolgirl uniforms in flannel tiny skirts. I just love that. I think she just did an amazing job. And what did you think?
Yeah, I agree in the aspect of using your environment to its extent rather than just, you know, what's nearby. Because sometimes those extra components can add more to not just the creativity, but it adds more to the experience in that you can, like how you were saying with the jump ropes, for example, there's jump ropes, there's chalk, there's books, there's rulers, even pencils, and there's all kinds of tools that can be used in that environment. And the fact that, you know, she pointed some of those out and threw them in the poem, it added a lot to it. And I like the part that said, "Excite me, vicious, pin me down across your desk, pull thrust, push in deep." And it says, "Take me on the playground, tie me up with all the jump ropes against tetherball." And it's like, you know, the tetherball pole itself is just, you know, there's a lot you can do with that. You know? So, yeah, it gets the mind going and gets you thinking as to what all these things can do. And that's what poetry is supposed to do, is get your mind going. And in this case,
it gets
your blood going too.
I don't know. Finish what you were saying, please.
Oh, no, I was just saying, and in this instance, it gets your blood going, too.
Oh, absolutely. And I do really appreciate that in your comments on how she's using all these different components, it also gives the implication that this is not just one instance of play. This is all the various instances that could be. Maybe it's just an extended moment between two people, or perhaps it is just like, one event they were at the playground, one event they explored the tetherball. It's fun, honestly, because it gives the opportunity and it shows how imagination and even a role play can be used over. It can be used to the benefit of all these moments. It doesn't have to be a one and done thing. You can always revisit these things, maybe expand upon it. So I think that was really insightful, the way that you kind of captured that too, because it does remind us that you don't just have to play a school teacher once or a firefighter once. You can always reinvent a new way to use that character. So thank you for that. That was really insightful.
No problem.
And where do you want to take us now?
Let's see. I think we have another read for you. I'm not sure. Let's see. Blue Leader.
Blue Leader, I think, is a guy.
Oh.
Come on. Let me
I'm not familiar.
I know. So it was really funny. For a long time, I had a picture of me up, and my hair is long, past my butt at this point. And so I had a picture of just like my hair at one point. And so he's been calling me Cousin It. And so every time he talks to me, he's like, cuz. And I'm like, I'm never going to get beyond Cousin It. It's fine.
Yeah.
So yes, this is from a male perspective. So do you mind taking this read?
I will. Okay.
Awesome.
Let's see. Says Company Be Fascinated. By Blue Leader 1. Says, "Sugar, I know you want the candy. You stride into the scene with a fuck you attitude. Your eyes are diamonds with a super heavy thrust. Voodoo smile as you fall into your poses. I sink into a reverie. The samba takes us in. Our bodies are conversating our emotions. Everything is out of focus. Then there's the bossa nova. No notion nor motion as we dance into nowhere. Sensation, revelation, reincarnation, awake in the garden of delight. I need perfections. I need twists. I need twirls to dismantle me. My special smile, girl. Put a finger in my mouth and wow." And boom.
Oh, wow. That was a fantastic read. Thank you for that. And a great write by Blue Leader 1. I really enjoyed his work. I've gotten to follow him for about a year now. And what I really like is that it's deceivingly simple. I love the initial play. Sugar, I know you want the candy. So kind of sweet talking her, but also referencing that she wants the lollipop, which there are plenty of songs that call it the lollipop. But the idea of she's coming in knowing what she wants, and yet he says, sit, get down, which shows, again, that dominant-submissive kind of relationship. It's not uncommon for the submissive to sit in front of their dominant. It's a sign of submission. It's a sign of trust. It's a sign of respect. And so here she comes in with this attitude, all in your face. And yet, even though she's made her desire known, he starts the play. I think really important, we spoke about this in the first Black Lady's Diary show, but if you truly look at a dynamic between a dominant and a submissive, so many people think that a dominant is the one that is calling the shots. And while the dominant might be the one that is doing things, the submissive is the one who gets to end the play. If they say stop, it stops.
They have all the control.
Exactly. And so I love that this comes in with, this is what I want, that strong femininity, the understanding of, yeah, I know what you want. You're coming to me for something, and I know what that something is. And yet, immediately after that, she takes her role. And then, of course, they have the bodies moving together, the dance that almost goes. You wouldn't think of a BDSM-type lifestyle as being a dance, and yet in so many ways it is. It is the way in which two bodies move together, not just in the act of intimacy, but in the foreplay that leads up to it, in understanding the expectations and the steps that your partner is going to make. And then, of course, we know that they've had that satisfaction. They've gotten to visit that garden of delightment. They've gotten to find the intimacy and the need fulfilled. And then it kind of leaves me with this moment of awe, which is also a very beautiful thing. You see it in, more vanilla type relationships. There's no wrong type of intimacy as long as it's consenting individuals. Arguably. Okay. There's some like cannibalism that I might look a little weird at people. But I think it's really beautiful the way in which at the end of it, he kind of just has my special smile girl. And he reminds me almost of like the fingers, the index finger hooking under the chin and the thumb just kind of sliding the mouth, because it's not just a reminder of the play that has been done. It is a promise of the plays that could come. And that appreciation of she just did all of that, that awe of someone who could give over to allow things to be done to them within their limits that others might not appreciate or enjoy. There's a moment of fascination there to find someone who meets your needs in that way. And while it is a simple piece, I feel like it's so deceiving in its simplicity because of that, because this is so much more than just a quick little scene. This is understanding a dynamic, a relationship, the way that people might feel from these things, the little minute details of the awe. I think it's just such a beautiful and complete poem in the way that it is that I just think it's phenomenal. So, yeah. And what do you think of it?
Well, I really liked in the beginning where you mentioned you stride in the scene with the fuck you attitude. Your eyes are diamonds with a super heavy thrust. Like her eyes are just piercing. She's trying to be, you know, she's trying to exude this sense of strength and like she's in charge when in reality she is, but in the scene she is not. And then they go where he says, I sink into a reverie. I think that's a very clever line, as well as voodoo smile as you fall into your poses. Like, I really enjoyed that line, and I'm not sure why, but it really just tickled my fancy. I that part, that voodoo smile it brought a smile. Actually, it made me actually smile, and I was like, "Oh, that's pretty clever. That's pretty clever the way he did that." And then the whole execution, like the format change, into the end where it gets shorter and shorter, and there's more pauses, to kind of slow it down. Like, okay, this is the relaxation moment, and then there's the moment of true intimacy after. So I thought it was very clever.
Oh, I think that was great. That is a great comment. And I even love that you mentioned the voodoo smile, because it is kind of that enchanting, almost knowing. I mean, like, if there's any magic I never want to, like, cross, it would be a voodoo priestess. They've got away with stuff. Yeah. And so I love that you even mentioned that, because, yes, she is going down into a submissive position, and yet she knows that she's kind of this priestess in all of this, that she is going to get her way. She is going to get to do what she wants. And I think that's just really, really phenomenal. That being said, a great comment there. That being said, we do have another caller. So I'm going to see area code 470. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's me, Felon.
Hey, Felon. How are you doing?
Hi.
I'm hanging in there.
You're hanging in there. Yeah, you sound like you're a little congested. How are you doing? Okay?
No, I had COVID again. I had pneumonia, COVID, and I've been on a ventilator for a while. So I've been just been
going.
Oh my
goodness!
Sorry. But
Well, I am so glad you can be here. I mean, we've only got about 15 minutes left, but I'm so glad that you could be here, and I'm so glad that with your honesty and your openness to share with that. Because I can only imagine, like, how terrifying to come down with not just COVID, but pneumonia COVID. Oh, that is tough.
Yeah,
I will definitely be keeping you in my thoughts and prayers. Oh, that's...
Thank you. I'm healing. But I'd like to comment on this Blue Leader One's company, Be Fascinated or whatever.
Please, I would love to hear your thoughts.
I believe it's a gentleman. I'm not certain. Maybe not, but I really like what they said. You stride into the scene of a fuck you attitude, your eyes in diamonds with a super heavy thrust, voodoo smile as you fall into your presence. To me, that is just the way of being. That's just the way a woman can just draw a man in. She can do all these little bitty, sensual things, and it is voodoo, because every time she just sticks one more freaking damn needle into his head, just one more, just another, just a pose or just anything, and then I like where it ends. It says, and put a finger in my mouth, and wow, and basically that thing is like, they're biting your finger, going, she's already got him any way she wants him. She's dismantled him just by her smile. I think this is very provocative, and I think it's very sensual, and I think it's very seductive.
Oh, my goodness. That was such a great comment. And I love that you mentioned how a woman can draw a man in. And even the idea of the voodoo doll needles kind of being stuck in his head, kind of that spell continuing to be drilled into him with each instance. Oh, yeah. Well, and I love that. I think that is such a great comment and so insightful into this, especially in that dynamic, because, again, it seems that he is the dominant one, and yet you see all the ways in which she has woven him around her fingers. So that was a beautiful comment. And thank you for sharing that, for calling in the state you are in.
Yeah.
Oh, you are so sweet. I'm so glad you're here. I would like to get one more poem in.
Yeah.
Oh, we have definitely missed you. But I'd like to get one more poem in. Master M, do you have an idea where you'd like to go?
Yes, I will post it in the room for you. And it is nice to meet you, Felon. I'm glad that you are here and wish you well.
Thank you.
All right, so this is going to be Teach Me Please by Kel Smiles. Mr. Teacher, sir, teach me please. Raise your hand if you want to speak. Yes, teacher, sir, I have much to learn. That's right. and I'm here to teach you everything you need to please. But first go change into the outfit I have provided for you. Yes, teacher, sir. Laid out on the king-sized maroon coverlet, navy blue ultra mini skirt, white button-down blouse, and white thigh-high tights, quickly sliding into the clothes found a navy necktie, thankfully pre-tied, black high heels, ran to teacher's desk for sir's inspection. Well done, little lady. You've earned a treat. Sit on my knee. He kissed me with enough passion to set me back on my heels, same time removed the necktie, pulled my arms back, tied them tight, removed my glasses, replaced with a blindfold. Damn, can't see a thing. No clue what he'll do next. Mixed emotions of excitement and dread squirming on his knees. Hold still, girl. I'll have to punish you. I couldn't speak, for his tongue was in my throat. Thinking, please do, sir. So of course I continued to squirm. Couldn't control my curiosity. That's it. You've asked for it. You bet I did. Taking me off his knees, led me to the bed, tied wrists to posts, had his way with me. Best punishment I could fantasize. End poem. And Fallon, would you mind commenting on this first?
Absolutely. Let me just tell you, Kel smiles. You girl, you get it today. I'm very shocked with her. I love it. I just love the way that she came with this. But I don't think I can need anything but the damn necktie. Screw all everything else. I don't have to have it all that other. He kissed me with enough passion to set me back on my heels, at the same time removed the necktie, pulled me in my arms back, tied them tight, removed my glasses, replaced them with blindfold. Damn, can't see a thing. Who needs to see anything? It's already in your mind. You don't need to see anything any damn way. Just let them lead the way. But let them think they're let them think they're the ones in charge. But when you get on the post, they'll know who the boss is. So I really liked it. This is very very different for Kel Smiles. Very, very, very seductive and very hot.
Oh, absolutely. And it's been really fun watching Kel and her poetry, because she has this beautiful way of fluid thought in so many pieces. And this is almost a deviation from her norm. She's now brought in another character. We still have a little bit of that fluid thought, that damn kind of thing, the thoughts of, well, I'm curious, I'm going to do these, I'm going to try these things. But she did it in such a way that it creates such a heat and such an intensity in it. The almost bratty submissive who's testing all the limits, knowing that it's going to come with at least some pain, but definitely a lot
Absolutely.
More pleasure. So, yeah, great comment, Fallon. Thank you so much for that. And again, I'm so glad that you are here. And Master M, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I thought it was actually very well played. She got the descriptive factors down and everything, nailed the visuals completely. If you were to close your own eyes, you could put yourself in that situation easily. If you were to listen to someone read it, and the part that I liked was no clue what he'll do next. Mixed emotions of excitement and dread squirming on his knees. So that kind of encapsulates the whole, you know, the whole scenario, because you don't know what's going to happen next. And that's the excitement. That's the exciting thing, is to just, you know, let yourself go into this person's hands and allow them to dictate where, you know, he wants you to be, and just go with it. And that really kind of solidifies not just this scenario, but many scenarios. Like, you know, just that little line right there kind of is like the summary of the whole genre, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that comment, because you're right. If you did close your eyes and heard someone else read this, you could almost go into that headspace. I appreciate the dialogue even, because it does give that second layer to it that adds to the situation. And yet, like you said, there are those details where they're needed. The idea of what the outfit looks like, the thought process, it leaves enough to the imagination that we can fill in the blanks without losing what she's saying, without losing her story. So that was a great comment. Thank you. And this was, like I said, this was such a fun piece to read, getting to kind of play with the dialogue, because there's active dialogue in this, between the dominant and her. The adventure, there's almost that idea of movement as you go to find the clothes and then coming back. And I love that she writes in first person, because you do get to be put in that position. And it almost reminds me of John Devon. That was a masculine side, more masculine side, and this is definitely a feminine side that I could see be almost a personal play going on, a little bit of self-love. And yet it also tickles the mind with perhaps reading a book, reading some characters or two adults, just really having a moment together. I love the way in which the teacher is the authority figure, and that role play is so beautifully woven in there, because it could be role play. It could be a policeman. It could be all these different things. And yet it's so fluid and it's so natural, that you get to have that enjoyment. You get to fall into that character. I think it was just really, really stunning. And honestly, this is probably my favorite piece from Kel Smiles that I've ever read. Just really fantastically done. So thank you, Kels, for sharing that. And thank you guys for the amazing comments. We do only have 3 minutes left, so I'm going to tie up the show. We have... you caught my little pun there. This coming Sunday, we do have Hearts of LNP, so be checking that out. We are going to be looking at LNP appreciation pieces. So if you have one, we have the topic board up. Be sure to add a piece. Or we're going to be exploring fall. We've got a changing of the seasons, so we're going to have a little bit of fun with that. Be sure to check out that topic. And if you have a piece you'd love us to read, add it there. I'd love to feature you. Next Wednesday, due to technical difficulties last Wednesday, we did not get to have Strange Magic After Midnight. So this coming Wednesday, we are going to have Strange Magic After Midnight based on the contest Weaned on Poison. I am definitely excited for this. And unfortunately, I don't know what everyone else is doing. We've got the really cool Dostoevsky Crime and Punishment going by Pam for next Tuesday late night. But if you are ever curious what we have going on, be sure to check out the contest topic and be sure to check out our shows, which you can find on Blog Talk Radio. So thank you, Mr. M, Master M, for being here tonight and joining me. Felon, thank you for calling in, even with you not feeling great. And of course, Bobby for calling in as well. You get better. I need my little chili pepper better. So
I'm better.
But until then,
thank you for having me.
I loved it. All right. So until next time, guys, good night.